Alright everyone, welcome to another podcast hosted by Diverse Jobs Matter. This is Get Loud, DJM's Diversity Pod. As always, I am your host, Noor, and welcome to this week's episode where we will be discussing female health. This is going to turn into a new mini-series called Featuring Female Health, and this week we will be talking about managing menopause in the workplace. For far too long, female health issues have been an issue that women will have to solely deal with by themselves. For far too long, female health issues have been an issue that women have to solely deal with behind quiet quarters or closed doors. As it is a woman's health issue, many people believe that it should be dealt with the women themselves and their doctors. That's it. Menopausal women face challenges ranging from medical care, physical and mental health issues in their everyday life. Yet one of the places where menopausal women seem to lack the most support is actually in their places of employment. And as a talent platform and job board, I think it is very important to get these things out there. So firstly, I want to give you the lowdown on what menopause is and what symptoms a woman can face. Now, believe it or not, there is actually an extensive list. Some people do not know certain symptoms are actually caused by menopause, so you might be surprised by hearing some of these. So, what happens to the body during menopause? The average age of a woman undergoing menopause within the United Kingdom is about 45 to 55 years. Now, some women may experience this earlier or later, and some women can even experience menopause before the age of 40. Now, this is known as premature menopause, or it can be called premature ovarian inefficiency. And this can make it a little bit more difficult for these women to get pregnant. Now, there are a range of different symptoms that a woman can experience, and the severity, frequency, and intensity differs from woman to woman. And I'm probably going to be saying this phrase a lot throughout this podcast, but it is not a one-size-fits-all condition. Now, much like that fun statement, no snowflake is alike, no two women are alike, and their experiences are going to be completely different. Some women do go through menopause naturally. I think that is the case for most women, in fact, whether it happens early, later, or within the stated average. However, it can also be induced by surgery or by illness. According to the NHS website, so the National Health Service, here are some of the following symptoms that women should be looking out for if they believe they are experiencing menopause. And this can include hot flushes, night sweats, gametal dryness, insomnia, low mood, anxiety, and reduced libido. Funnily enough, the NHS only really comments on what we would call the common symptoms of menopause. However, if you go on a little bit of an internet hunt or a search, there are a lot more symptoms listed that are associated to menopause that the NHS does not even address on their website. And that can include fatigue, bloating, digestive problems, depression, weight gain, migraine, joint soreness, hot mouth, dizzy spells, muscle tension, hair loss, brain fog, pins and needles, brittle skin and nails. And there are some more severe illnesses like osteoporosis as well. Now, I was listing things off for quite a while there, and you know, you can hear me list those things off and you'd think that, right, that seems like a lot of stuff that a woman has to go through and deal with on a daily basis. Now, imagine trying to do that in a stressful work environment. Now, there are some physical symptoms that occur when women are undergoing internal hormonal changes, right? This is a big transition in a woman's life, in a physical way, psychological way, and possibly in a cultural and social way too. According to menopauseintheworkplace.co.uk, menopausal women are becoming the fastest growing demographic in the United Kingdom workforce. According to the National Office of Statistics, 1 in 3 workers in the United Kingdom are currently over 50. So we have an aging workforce, and half of them are individuals who can menstruate. The current UK workforce is not accommodating women who are menopausal, and menopause is not openly discussed in the workplace at all. Now, I know the way I have discussed menopause can make it seem like this daunting illness or disorder or disease even, but I have to press that is not the case. And menopause is an internal and external, actually, transition that most menstruating individuals go through in their life. But this does not make them any weaker, and it's not an illness. These are side effects of the process of having extreme hormonal changes in your body. Much like puberty, menstruation, and even pregnancy, every woman's experience is different. And, you know, there is no point in making generic or sweeping statements here, because it just won't work. So let's make a few things clear as I move forward. Some women do not experience, and if they do experience, menopausal symptoms, might not have any problems with them. They will be able to manage and handle them without having to hide it or seek assistance. Some women can require surgery or serious medical attention or develop illnesses due to menopause. Nearly all women experience some sort of menopausal symptoms. However, these symptoms tend to be on a spectrum. So the intensity and frequency, as I've said before, can vary a lot from woman to woman. So I've got a little bit of a stat summary for you that I think will help you guys understand the symptoms and how people review them within their workplaces, how it makes them feel, how it affects how they function in a workplace. Around about 80% of women do experience notable changes in their body and in their functioning. 45% of women say that their symptoms are difficult to deal with, and most women deal with these without any treatment, and they believe that they stop gradually or naturally. Now, all of the symptoms, if you do not know, are associated with a decrease in the body's production of estrogen. Now, because of this, it can impact a worker's self-confidence, mental health, and the ability to build relationships with individuals. It can not only impact an individual's work life, but very clearly, it can impact an individual's home life and any other relationships that they have. It is worth remembering, it is not just women who are assigned as female by birth who can menstruate. In fact, it is worth remembering that some trans women can also experience menopause, and they are a group who are very much excluded in workplaces with the belief that they do not experience menstruation or menopause, and that needs to be taken into consideration. Now, unfortunately, there is not a lot of concern and understanding within workplaces about, firstly, what menopause is, what happens during the body, and how to advise and support your employees when they are going through it. For very long, menopause has been a cultural issue that is considered a private matter, not just within workplaces, but within families. It's not very rarely taught in schools, and many women feel like they are unable to discuss this in a social environment. And if we continue to eradicate or to mute discussions that are concerned with menopause, then it will be very, very difficult for employers or employees to make adjustments or to even speak out about it in the first place. Now, trans women may feel a lot more reluctant to discuss the difficulties of menopausal symptoms. That is because of their trans status, and they find it difficult to disclose that in the first place. But these issues are seriously growing in importance. With reference to our aging workforce, this is becoming a much more pressing issue and a matter of importance, and it needs to be addressed in the workplace as soon as possible. In this podcast, I will be referencing quite a lot the fantastic Unison report that was created about menopause. I will put a link in the bio for this podcast episode, and I think it is fantastic. I make quite a few references to it because it points you through advice on how to improve workplace strategy when it comes to addressing menopause, but it also addresses the issues that women might face. I will also be linking in the government report that was released in 2017 about managing menopause in the workplace and the difficulties that women experience once they start going through the physical transition of it. Now, the one thing that many of these reports have picked up is that managers tend to be quite unsympathetic or inflexible when it comes to menopausal symptoms and how it affects women. Workplace sickness or workplace absence policies often trigger levels of inflexibility that make it very difficult for women to speak out or for women to hide or mute their issues. Often, this leads to employers setting up disciplinary issues that can lead to unfair dismissal or suspension. Not fairly addressing issues in the workplace with regards to menopause is potentially discriminatory. Menopause symptoms and discussing menopause is actually a protected act under the 2010 Equality Act, and I will be talking more about that in a moment. So, under the Equality Act of 2010, menopausal women are protected under three of the protected characteristics, and that is age, sex, and disability. They are also protected under the Health and Safety Work Act of 1974. Now, this extends to menopausal women in various different circumstances and experiences. What we have also come to realise is that many employers are starting to create policies that address menopausal women directly rather than indirectly targeting them through gendered and ability or disability policies. I've got a little bit of food for thought for you guys, and that is that menopause doesn't actually only affect women. Women who have partners have recognised that these symptoms can actually affect their partners. In a government survey, women's partners were referencing fatigue, exhaustion, and extreme tiredness due to staying up or waking up when their partner did due to any of their own menopausal symptoms. We need to think holistically about what adjustments are required, or we need to think about what we can do to help both an individual and their partner if menopause is causing them any physical, psychological symptoms. Menopause is a workplace issue, and we need to talk about it. Menopause doesn't only affect aging women, it can actually affect younger women too if they are going through medical or surgical or even premature menopause. And you have to remember that it can also affect non-binary and transgender people. Now, the stats of the NOS, so the National Office of Statistics, show that one in every three, so that is massive, women is experiencing or is menopause. Around 8 in every 10 will have very noticeable symptoms, and 45% of these women will find their symptoms hard to deal with and will need to seek treatment. And now a lot of these women are starting to enter the workforce. What I find frustrating is that so many women are being either driven away or being disciplined by their workplaces because they find it difficult to be symptomatic via menopause and adapting to the workplace environment because it is so inflexible. The workplace environment and expectations placed upon these women are so inflexible and unreasonable that they find that they can no longer work. Here at DJM, we believe that menopausal symptoms on female workers, whether they are non-binary, trans, is an occupational health issue and an equality issue. Companies, organisations, charities, wherever you work, even educational institutions, need to work on creating targeted policies that make it a lot more beneficial for individuals who are going through menopause. It goes without saying that if you do improve the conditions for your workers who may be disadvantaged because of inflexible or unreasonable policies, you may be able to actually help them address a lot of different issues within a workplace, adapt, improve, and evolve. You may be able to address such things as gender pay gaps or sickness policies. And by agreeing to a successful menopause policy, you might actually be able to use this as a recruitment tool advertising the benefits of joining your company. There are monetary benefits to implementing specific menopausal policies that are advantageous for not only the employee, but the employer. Because I can sit here and talk about all the issues that women are facing as employees, but realistically, if it is not a mutually beneficial deal for both the employee and the employer, then I can talk about it as much as I want. But realistically, no change or no thought for change will be implemented either. Now, in 2018, the Women's Committee survey did a massive survey of women who are currently going through menopause in the workplace, and they wanted to see what their experiences were, and I wanted to sit here and talk about this because I think that it might help put things into perspective. 32% of women believe that they were treated negatively, outright, explicitly, negative treatment. 63% of people were treated as a joke when they said they were experiencing or having difficulty due to menopausal symptoms. 44% of respondents believed that when they were taking sickness leave due to menopause, they thought that they could not tell their manager the real reason for their absence because they believed that they would go through disciplinary actions or that they would be penalized for it. 9% of individuals actually told the real reason of undergoing menopausal symptoms as their reason for going under sick leave. Think about how low that number is. 76% of respondents felt like they were going through menopause and that they had extremely or moderately problematic circumstances at work. And again, that number is ridiculously high. Only 11% of managers said that they had been given training on how to support someone going through menopause. Now, I am going to flag this up as one of the most problematic stats here. Line managers and C-suite level executives are in place to be role models and trainers to their employees. Alongside with HR departments, they are often the first port of call for any workplace conflicts, issues, and absences or training that needs to happen. Yet, when it comes to female health, this stat is incredibly low. They don't even have the knowledge, speciality, or training to even deal with the issue. So no wonder women are hiding. They just don't feel like they are able to speak about the issue. Now, 9% of women had to undergo disciplinary procedure because of their menopausal symptoms because they were now performing poorly at work. I do not understand how employers feel like it is viable to sanction an individual when they are going through a transition in their physical health. And granted, it may be happening because these women are not able to speak about it, but that is because the workplace environment prohibits us from doing so. What needs to change? Where can you change? And how can you go about implementing that change? I'm going to turn back to that fantastic Unison report that I will be linking into bio of this podcast. And that is because they have outlined some fantastic strategies that workplaces can actually implement to increase not only revenue, but the experience of women within the workplace who are undergoing any sort of physical or mental symptoms of menopause. The easiest way to frame this is to think about how you can change your policies. What you can do is simply ask yourself and your team a question. What type of support or help would be beneficial for those experiencing menopause? And if you do have any employees undergoing menopause in your companies, always go for their opinion. Listen to what they have to say. Open discourse and discussion. Communication is so important. Often you get line managers or C-suite level executive or managers or just recruiters and HR departments who are made up of men. This is a problem because they have no idea of the circumstances that women may be going through. They can't sympathize with the situation and therefore might be inflexible towards it. So first and foremost, these are the port of contact for complaints and adaptability to the workplace environment. They should be the ones getting the training and then passing on and doing training for their employees so they can also replicate the sympathetic manner that is required within a workplace. Let's go through this rapid fire string of tips. Tip one, educate for change in workplace culture. Employers should ensure that any manager or HR staff have been trained and made aware of how to understand and how to impact and affect individuals who are going through menopause in a positive way. They also need to be doing it to raise understanding and awareness. Sharing experiences helps people understand what others are going through. Tip two, gender-specific risk assessments. There are a lot of differences between men and women, particularly when it comes to physical health. Now, there is a greater chance of ensuring the health and safety of all your employees if your workers are protected by specific gender risk assessments. Tip three, sickness absence. Now, increasingly in the workplace, long-term health conditions, they are dealt with outside of sickness policies or absence policies. What this does is it creates an unfair disadvantage for those people who have long-term health conditions such as menopause because they do not get gender parity. However, what could be done is removing any barriers that employees may have initially put in place when it comes to sick pay and do not threaten any employees with disciplinary actions if they do have a long-term health condition. Because you have to remember, gender and ability needs are actually protected under the Equality Act of 2010. Because many employees use sickness absence policies with certain triggers that threaten employees, this can be a very difficult process for certain employees to go under, and it might not be beneficial for all. Tip 4, equality proofing all policies and procedures. It is important for all workers and workplace practices to be reviewed in case they create potential disadvantages for workers. We need to think about disciplinary and redundancy and suspension actions. Recruitment and training policies are some of the key procedures that may need to be altered within a workplace to make them equality proofed. You need to make sure that none of your policies are actually putting any of your employees at a disadvantage. Tip 5, flexible working. Due to COVID-19, this one may be a lot more easier or has been taking place for the past year. Working arrangements could be made flexible enough where workers could possibly stay at home in an environment where they may be comfortable to work rather than having to come into the office if they are experiencing symptoms. Tip 6, line management support. Because of the way that society treats female health, and that's not just menopause, I'm talking puberty, pregnancy, and periods and menstruation, many women feel uncomfortable to go to their managers, especially if they are a man. Other options should be made available. You could have external disciplinary committees available, or maybe external diversity officers available to help deal with any issues that employees may have, especially if the HR department and manager team are not equipped or knowledgeable enough on the situation. Tip 7, workplace environment. Many individuals and managers do not realize that the physical environment within the workplace itself can actually be a trigger for menopausal symptoms. For somebody experiencing menopause, conditions such as poor ventilation, inadequate access to drinking water, inadequate or non-existent access to toilet or washing facilities, lack of control over temperature or light, inappropriate uniforms and protective equipment can actually lead to women having exacerbated symptoms. Tip 8, occupational health awareness. Guidance on how to deal with menopause should be freely available in the workplace. There are many avenues that you can do this. Think workshops, training, leaflets, maybe a seminar, or even emails that could be sent around. There are many avenues to get the message out there. It is making the effort in the first place, which is the big deal. Tip 9, stress. Stress should be measured as a risk alongside any other concerns like temperature and light. And that is because individuals who are undergoing menopause or even long-term mental health conditions or physical health conditions may need access to certain facilities or individuals in case their stress exacerbates. Tip 10, a specific menopause policy. Development of workplace policy can go a long way to help ensure that women are not disadvantaged. So creating a specific menopause policy can help, again, not only just the individuals who be joining your company, but it can also outline that you are a very inclusive and diverse employer. But remember, don't do it to fill a quota. You should be doing it to ensure that the conditions of your employees are actually going to be improved. Nothing should be done at face value. Tip 11, recognition that any approach is not one size fits all. This is key. Every person experiencing menopause will have different symptoms, social and cultural circumstances, and different physical symptoms, and the severity and the frequency of them can be different as well. We cannot sit here and make assumptions on how to deal with those experiences, because that actually is completely counterproductive. The CIPD has offered a cafeteria approach, which I think is quite an interesting thing that employers can look into. And this is where you can choose a range of adjustments and options in a criteria dependent on the individual, of course. Maybe adjust the circumstances appropriate to an individual's situation. We need to remember that when we address menopause, that we are looking at every single avenue of a woman's life. And that's what the government likes to call the very wordy biopsychocultural approach, which means evaluating mental health towards aging, towards menopause, understanding lifestyle, and the broader psychological, physical, and social contacts that may affect the way she runs not only her workplace, but in 80% of circumstances, household as well. The United Kingdom government has identified a few studies of women being unable to look for a job, and these will be listed in the bio of this podcast. Menopause is not a weakness. I only think it's fair that adjustments should be made for somebody who is going through a physical condition. And that doesn't mean that she deserves to be disciplined, suspended, made redundant, or paid less, or should be made to feel inferior because she is undergoing a physical change. And I think it goes without saying, specifically by male co-workers who do not have to experience this. So, if you are a rep from a company who is listening to this, maybe ask yourself, do we have a specific menopause policy in place? If not, can we make one with reasonable adjustments? How does our company deal with menopausal employees? Do they have decent or comfortable experiences within the environment? Or has there been complaints previously placed? How were they dealt with? And who deals with them? Are they trained to deal with them? Ask yourself these questions, because it might benefit you in the process. Now, regardless of who you are and where you are and where you're sitting and how you're listening to this, I want to hear your thoughts, because it's an interesting topic that does not often get spoken about, and I wanted to burst that bubble, literally. So, I want to get you talking in the comments, whether it's on Podbean, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Alright, I can tell that was a very opinionated session, but anyway, I hoped you enjoyed hearing my thoughts, and I again want to point you guys towards that Unison report on menopause, which I will link in the bio of this podcast, because it was absolutely fantastic in providing productive and constructive advice and tips to implement a much more menopause confident workplace. Alright, it was Noor here, guys, and I'll catch you next week with a new one.